Hey everybody, it's Sunny. You are listening to this on the iTunes feed. Go sign up at subbeacon.com. You could have had this warning not to go see Morbius in time to have let you skipped it. Bad movie. We're going to be talking about that on this episode here. This week over at the Patreon, we're talking about All the Old Knives, which is out now on Prime Video, starring Chris Pine, Thandi Newton. Good, entertaining movie. At least I liked it. I don't know what the other guy's going to say. We're also going to be talking about Severance on the bonus episode this week. Severance on Apple TV Plus. I like this show a lot. I'm very curious to see what everybody else makes of it. So anyway, go sign up for the Patreon. You'll easily find us at subbeacon.com, and we'll see you over there. People
are strange. Dr. Michael Morbius. You've been missing for 2 months. When you're a stranger. Then you were found on a container ship that washed up off of Long Island. Faces look ugly when you're
alone. Johnny!
What did you do to yourself, Doctor?
I wish I knew.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis along with Jonathan V. Last and Sunny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com, you'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com. Gentlemen, how are we? JVL, what is going on?
I had promised you guys last week that this would be post our first game. And so yes. I have an update for you, and big news. We were rained out today.
Yes.
Which means that my team remains undefeated.
Today was the day. Today was opening day.
Wait, your opening day is the same as Major League Baseball's opening day?
As the Nats. Is, yeah.
I mean, as it would be. I find it
presumptuous.
Funny that for opening day, we had a matchup featuring the Crusaders against the Conquistadors.
Oh, wow.
In the most offensively Catholic nicknames possibly imaginable. Why not, like, is there not the Inquisitors?
I would be on the Inquisitors. I would be coach Torquemada.
I think,
great names.
This is, recognizing great cultures through history.
That's right. Superior.
Conquistadors.
Conquistadors, which could actually settle cities, by the way.
Conquistadors showed up here. We've all seen Apocalypto.
All right. Yes.
The Conquistadors showed up
at the end.
And they destroyed the rotten human sacrificing civilization.
I'm surprised. Why didn't he just do Mel Gibson we're talking about here? Why didn't Mel Gibson just do a sequel to Apocalypto? It's after the ships arrive, because you have they never met the Mayans. This never happened. And we don't, I mean, is this supposed to be Cortez? It's unclear to me, but
Mayans, Aztecs.
I always wondered, somewhere it was supposed to be some other obscure tribe, I think. I had read this somewhere because people are asking, you know, because I assumed initially it was Aztecs, then you learned it's the Mayans. But wait a minute, the Mayans disappeared, as you will. You can see me with my quote marks. Yeah. Then the Aztecs took over.
Also, it's not like the Mayans' hands were totally clean on the, like,
the sacrifice.
No, absolutely. Humans for the pleasure of their gods.
Yes, yes. I've been to those pyramids. I've been to those pyramids. Very tall, steep steps, by the way.
I can't believe you got up them, frankly.
No, not Machu Picchu. Tulum. Anyway. JVL, sorry. I'm sorry.
Anyway, I got a little off course.
Wait, who? So it's the Conquistadors versus the
Crusaders.
The Crusaders.
Conquistadors.
Which Crusades? That's important. Some of the Crusades were
probably
better than
the
other ones.
Yes, the first one was, I think, the best one, wasn't it?
The ones where they abused altar boys? I don't know.
No.
Well, that's terrible. I thought that's when that one ended like a year ago. When was that? Was the 17th Crusade? I don't know.
So I'm trying to figure out how we're going to moneyball our way through this season, because as I said, we have a, I'm not going to be able to start nine players who have all played baseball before. some of our starters mm-hmm. will be taking to a baseball field for the first time in their young lives.
I think you mix it up. You mix it up, and you need somebody very strong as your closer.
Well, so one of the things I want to do, because my team is really split between people who have gone through puberty and people who have not gone through puberty, and I literally have half the team is 5'7" and above, mm-hmm. and half the team is like 4'4" and below.
Yeah, it's funny how it
works. And so I actually have my lineup alternating. Big, little, big, little.
Oh, okay, you do it that way. I was going to say big, middle, in the then little in the middle, and then big again.
That's no, on the assumption that it will, the strike zone will vary so drastically from batter to batter that it will give opposing pitchers fits.
It'll throw the pitchers.
We need to run this by Bill James, because I got a theory.
What would you do, Sonny?
The best thing to do would just be to put all of your good players first.
Okay, well.
Just put your best players first.
They're all good players. That's all good. I don't draw value judgments.
You put what you should do is you should put the ones who can hit for power, third and fourth, the speed guys first, and then as the worse you go, the lower they go.
We're just gonna have to get on base a lot, Sonny. This is
we're gonna have to work the counts.
Playing small ball. We're gonna have a lot of walks. Teaching the kids to lean in and get hit by pitches.
Look, you joke, but those pitchers are going to wear their arms out.
Sonny, your strategy is heavy stance. First, big hitters first, and then
teach them stances. You got to get them hunkered down. Lean in. You know, really
get in close to the plate, Braden.
I'd say save one or two for like at the very end of your roster.
You got to get them like the Barry Bonds armor.
Yeah. I do have one thing I want to try, though, because I'm going to let Flash pitch the end of games. I'm not going to start him, because I don't want coach's kid starting, but B, because you don't want him pitching three innings and then,
that's right,
you know, some normal kid comes in throwing 50 miles an hour after him, and it looks like a matzo ball floating, you know, on.
I'm sorry. That's the wrong faith tradition. It looks like a spicy meatball.
A spicy meatball.
Looks like a spicy meatball.
That's right. I wouldn't say matzo ball, right? Although it is almost Passover, so.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring him in probably to pitch 5, 6, 7. But I believe what I would like to do is I have this really fantastic, very talented kid who happens to be in fifth grade. And I'm going to bring him in as the setup man for Flash. Mm-hmm. Because this kid is quite good. But again, he's 4'1". And he can throw strikes from 60 feet at 4'1". They're just like, you know, it's almost like an Ephus pitch. You know, it's like really slow and really high. Bring him in for like face three batters or so. And then bring Flash. I just feel like it will make people pass out. It'll be a fantastic setup. So we're going to do a lot of stuff like that. I'm trying to use our size to our advantage. Very excited. And when we play the Inquisitors, are there any other like super offensive names?
That's not offensive
at all. Catholic
teams
could use.
Disagree. It's just part of history. Accept it. Yeah, Templar, okay. The Knights Templar.
Who are some of the bad popes? Who was Hitler's pope?
No, Pius Hitler's pope was not Hitler's pope. That's a misnomer.
Pius
the 12th was actually very good.
Pie guys.
You know, you're thinking the Borgias. That's what you're thinking, Sonny.
The Borgias.
The Borgias. Yeah. There's the one Borgia pope who was so bad, he's not even buried at St. Peter's. He's like away from there.
Anyway,
with his children. He's buried with his children.
Actually. How you doing, Sonny?
Right. I'm good. I'm trying to think of like really the spotlights. That could be a
great movie.
I'm trying to think of the most offensive thing I can say about my Catholic friends here. I'm sorry. I want to apologize to the fathers.
It is, but it
Father
is
Father Harrison, Father Schraub. Sorry, still I don't mean to. It's still I don't mean movie. To. I don't mean to be rude.
Another movie, by the way, about what you know, inspiring you to become a good journalist. Except for it's like none of the areas I'm interested in. But if you were about investigative journalism,
No, the movie that inspired me to become a journalist was Shattered Glass.
Yeah, that's right. You wanted to be just
like
Stephen
Glass. It's a movie that inspired me to remain a journalist, because I was already a journalist at the time.
The Bishop Strickland's.
2005 or whatever. And Sonny. I was like, you know what? Yeah. It's like, that's what I want to be. I want to be the guy writing for Rolling Stone and George.
Yeah, that's George. Right. That's right. Writing for George was JVL. I'm sorry. We'll get to Sonny in a second. Did you ever write for George? And I wanted to, because I thought that was the place. Like, forget about Esquire. This is kidding? The hot magazine. This is the place to write.
So George launched right around the same time as The Old Place.
Yes.
And in fact, very famously,
yes,
there was a handwritten note from John to Bill Kristol, mm-hmm, thanking him, because I think The Standard was launched first. Mm-hmm. And it was thanking Bill for taking time to meet with him to
gracious.
Just help him talk through what it was like to start a magazine. And I think I remember hearing the story about when John came through the office for his sit down with Bill.
Way before. Yeah, it's even before my
time. It was before we were there, right.
Yeah.
And I believe the lore, J-Pod will tell me if this is apocryphal, but the lore is that, like, you know, every 24-year-old girl in the office showed up ready to go, yes. just on the off chance.
The coterie, yes.
Catch John's eye. Yeah. Anyway, but yes, the answer is, I would have killed anybody in my entire family to have written a
anything.
Like,
I agree.
300-word yes. item oh, for the oh, front of George.
Yes. And you know what it was?
Because they had their own version of Talk of the Town.
You know what? I was mostly jealous about is because their contributors page, you got a little picture and a little description.
Absolutely.
And I'm reading Stephen Glass's.
Yeah. But you know what? Look at him, and then look at us now.
Yeah, look at
here
him.
Here we are.
That asshole can't even get his. He can't even pass the bar out in California.
With our own podcast,
yes,
and editing
right.
our websites.
Podcast galore.
We've got so many podcasts. Oh, we have a veritable podcast empire. The three of us,
every day of the week.
Basically, we were the big winners.
Every day of the week, you could hear one of the three of us. Okay, Sonny. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. Big news in my life. Very, very important thing has happened. The Alamo Drafthouse Dallas has restarted their season pass program.
Ooh,
so I signed up for it. Signed up for it immediately. I was like, boop.
Nice.
Going to see a movie tonight. It was Sunday or something. But I went and saw X, the Ty West horror movie. X would have killed on the quadrants if we had done it. But
really? I've never heard of this.
This movie, let me tell you what this movie is about. It's a horror film. It's called X. It's called X. Rated R. X.
I was hoping it would be
not
X.
Rated X.
Yeah. Not rated X. It's called X. It's rated R. If I was going to do a big boy review, X from Studio A24 is about a group of Texas pornographers who go out to a house in the countryside to make a low-budget amateur porn that they will sell in the style of Deep Throat around the country, only to confront a wicked old couple that wants to murder them for their horniness.
This is an A plus plus plus. This is like Sonny. This is like if you and I sat down to write a screenplay, the result would be this movie because I would do the porn part, you do the horror part. JVL does not. You're not a horror. He's not a horror.
Right.
JVL,
Aaron Harrison would put up the entire budget,
and it would be produced by Aaron Harrison.
Aaron Harrison would produce. Michael Goldfarb would run advertising
that's
and
right.
casting.
Oh, that's it.
Is this done straight faced, Sonny, or is it intentionally grindhouse style?
It's a movie. It's a movie about movies. JVL. It's all about when you make a movie, they tell you got to have the sex and the violence and the and horror and porn are so close to each other.
An hour and a half? It's short.
It's about 100 minutes. It's about 100 minutes.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's once again, it would on length, A plus mm-hmm. on violence, A plus 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 on sex and nudity, and probably an A on plot. I mean, it's not difficult to follow.
No, it's pretty straightforward.
You
might
it sounds
have
like you
questions.
Don't like it.
I didn't. It didn't. It, wow. it was. It's a bit of a wank, if you will. bit of a wank. Okay. Anyway, so I went to see that. That was my inaugural season pass movie because I was like, I would never,
yeah,
I would never not pay like full price just to go see this. But it was leaving theaters that week. I was like, I gotta if I'm gonna see this A24 movie, A24, the big indie studio. Everybody got to see all the A24 movies. I had to go see it. So anyway, season pass has started. I will be seeing Ambulance tomorrow, the new Bay movie. Ambulance.
I hope most of it is not green screen. I feel like I've seen that trailer a bunch of times now.
It's mostly there is a little bit of CGI in it, I hear. But there were all sorts of clips going around when he was shooting. So Michael Bay shot it, and there were clips of him like
car crashes,
almost getting killed in a car crash, flipping, you know, headed towards him. So there's a lot of practical effects. Terrific. There is some CGI, is my understanding. Also, though, we'll talk about this more, I think, because this is going to be on Netflix. Mm-hmm. In like 2 weeks, I think.
Exciting.
It's in theaters.
Wonderful.
It's got a 2 week run in theaters, and
work
it's going to be
us.
On Netflix. Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. You know, anyway, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm going to get up. My ranking, my victory rewards rankings in Alamo Land are going to be so high. I'm going to be going to see 2-3 movies a week. You can't stop me. Can't keep me out of there.
I will be using my Alamo season pass tomorrow to see Sonic the Hedgehog. Two.
Oh, man. You gonna take the kids? You just going by yourself?
G Money is as excited for Sonic 2 as Victorino and I were for The Phantom Menace. I cannot.
One. Yes, yes. The anticipated sequel.
The level. He has been talking about this now for a solid 2 months. Like, oh boy, it's coming on April 8th. I can't wait. Can we go on April 8th? Can we go on opening night?
I can't even get through the trailer, which I think he has a partner now or a counter.
Tails. Tails is Luigi to Sonic's Mario.
But who's Idris Elba? That's Knuckles.
Knuckles, yes.
Knuckles.
Who becomes a good guy. Knuckles is a good guy eventually. Well, you know, I don't know if you saw, but Jim Carrey has announced that, I guess, with the finishing of principal photography on Sonic 2, he feels like he's ready to step away from acting because
he's done it all.
As he said, I feel like I've done enough. Did you see this?
No.
He's done enough.
So not retiring because of his age.
No, just like he feels like he's done enough to get into the Hall of Fame or whatever. Like, you know,
I don't know. I always think about this. Like, you know, if I had, I don't know, 10, 20 million, like as a person who is not rich, you would think, okay, I'm done now and I'll just have a live, comfortable life. But of course, the rich people, that's not how they operate.
No.
100 million, you know what 10 million means? 10 million means there's somebody out there with 100. And 100 million means there's somebody out there with a billion.
I'm sorry. No, but if you're Jim Carrey and you make a movie for $20 million, first of all, half that gone to taxes. You got to pay 20% to your, 15% to your agent, 10% to your manager, and that comes out of your pre-tax money. By the time he gets money, it's like that $20 million check, it's like $20. So he's got to keep working.
Oh, man, that's awful. That's just unfair.
That's how they get you.
That's terrible.
Especially out in California, the tax rate's out in California.
Oh, terrible. Yeah,
me?
No, that's right. $20. $20 for Jim Carrey.
$20 million all the way down to $20.
Thank you for breaking that down during tax season. It's very useful for our listeners.
I did
out
my
there.
Taxes. I did my
congratulations.
Taxes this week. God, that was a
one
that
of
was
us
always
did.
Fun.
Congratulations.
Ugh,
that was
not
always
yet.
Fun.
This weekend.
I love stroking that $6,000 direct deposit right to the federal government out of my bank. It's always a lot of fun.
You got away with only $6,000?
Yeah, I do
that's
some creative
personal
accounting.
Information on this show.
It was actually a little bit less than that. I did.
It has been decades since I have paid the IRS that little.
Oh
yeah.
Ugh.
I just got a refund. I filed last month.
Of course you did.
How did you get a refund?
Overpaid. I overpaid. I'd have to do the Virginia quarterly.
You overpay?
The quarterly taxes, and the January turned out accounted for December.
I would rather, you know, it's very funny. So I use TurboTax. We've discussed this before. I use TurboTax. I got the audit protection again because it did so good for me last year. But the, you know, when you're doing your taxes, the TurboTax makes you answer like six different questions. It's like, are you sure you don't want to pay quarterly? Because then you will avoid the underpayment fee.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but, are you sure you don't want it? And then it's like the underpayment fee is like, okay, now you have to pay $32. And I'm like, I would rather pay $32 than have to deal with this shit four times a year. Are you kidding me?
100%.
You kidding me?
Yeah, I have little reminders on my phone. That time, in fact,
on your
next
iPhone
week,
SE,
April, my iPhone SE, which is all the talk now, because there's something new about it.
Aren't they bringing it back?
That's why.
They're bringing it back.
I think called it special edition. I thought it was the senior edition, which is why I bought it.
I just downloaded a new. Speaking of phones, I just downloaded the new OS on my laptop, and let me tell you, it's exactly the same. I've never had fewer changes on an OS before. It was amazing. I loved it.
It's no longer Big Sur. It's something else.
No, like it's Catalina.
Catalina, yeah. Catalina. They're just going up and down the coast.
Yeah,
Monterey.
I don't quite understand. I don't quite understand how their naming system works. It's just
it used to be
with
cats. Animals. Do you remember when it was cats?
Yes.
Jaguar.
Yes. Jaguar, leopard.
Lion.
Lion. Yeah. And then they just said, let's just go with locations in California. Okay.
They ought to use Chinese labor camps. Jingzhuo.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
like wherever the little fox con.
First, they could do like oppressed ethnic groups.
That's right.
The Uyghur.
That's right. Oh, man. Well, anyway.
iOS
when
Uyghur.
When are the conquistadors going to play the Uyghurs?
The Gurkhas.
When are the conquistadors going to play the Han dynasty?
I would be with the Gurkhas.
When are they going to play the Mongols?
So before I came down here to tape, Kate upstairs was watching A Few Good Men on AMC, right? Which I haven't seen in a long time. JVL is like shaking his head. He's shaking his head. I said, I love A Few Good Men. It's great. Let me just watch 15 minutes of it. I don't know if it holds up. The dialogue, it seemed a little cringy, some of it. I was watching the back and forth with him and Demi Moore, and he's like, I want to get a new, at the arraignment, I'm going to ask for a new attorney to get assigned to these guys. And it was just, you know how sometimes Tom Cruise is so over the top with this as a lawyer, and he's like, so this is what a courtroom is like. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It just seems weird. I didn't think about this because I've always loved the movie. But watching it now, I feel like it just was a little bit off. No.
I haven't watched it in so long that now I'm afraid to see it again.
Yeah, no. But some of the, because it's like courtroom drama.
It's also very Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
It's like how we would joke about a courtroom drama now, but it was like actually normal. Like the dialogue, everything they say is just with such gravitas. Okay. Other than that, I'm cold because our furnace died.
Oh, no.
It did. And Kate says she can't fix it. So,
What are you running over there? Are you running an oil furnace?
No.
HVAC?
It's gas.
Oh, gas.
It's gas, and it's connected to the thing. But so every time it's not working, and I was trying to, you would hear it rev up and die down, and Kate's like, do you smell anything? Because, the fear is always the exploding house. Yeah. That's everybody's fear. And in fact,
pilot light goes out, and then you all die.
It's a gas valve that needed to be replaced, but because it's old, it's not even that old. The thing is, we got it at the time when you can get those eco-friendly furnaces with the rebates, and they're just not.
You're supposed to get 30 years out of a gas furnace.
Yeah,
no. How old is this?
I want to get this like 15, and they're like, well, 15 to 18 is the typical age.
No,
like,
that is not right.
Not for this thing. It's not
they're
even
expensive. Do you have to replace the whole thing?
The whole thing. Which is why I'm continuing to do this show. It's the only reason. I can write another check. It sucks. You know what else sucks? Morbius took a bite out of the box office this weekend at $39 million, followed by The Lost City with $14.7 million. And in third place, The Batman with $11 million. Box office thoughts. Sonny, what was your prediction?
I don't know if I made a prediction
on Morbius. Yeah.
I think I said to somebody on Twitter in DMs like 32 to 34, which is what I thought. So I thought it was really going to tank after. I thought it was going to be very heavily front loaded.
You were
and
sending us trended about
down.
This.
It trended down all weekend, so I mean, it was like it was not well received. It got a C+ from CinemaScore, which is bad for a comic book movie.
I also saw it's rating on IMDb,
very bad,
which was like
did not do well on IMDb. The Rotten Tomatoes user score is inflated because for some reason all the Snyder Cut stands are like very into this because it star. Well, I say for some reason because it stars Jared Leto, and they think that if Jared Leto is successful, that Warner Brothers will beg him to come back and do more Joker movies.
He's not the Joker at the end of the Batman, though, right?
He is. Yeah, he is. No.
He's the Joker at the end of the.
He's the Joker at the end of the Snyder Cut. Yes. The nightmare vision.
Yes.
Of the future.
And Birds of Prey, I believe. So
he's not in Birds of Prey. Not in Birds of Prey.
I think this is proof, as if we needed more proof, that the biggest star in movies is the name Marvel. Because if just having Marvel in front of this piece of shit,
even though it's Sony,
with a character nobody has heard of, with an actor who is not a star, and not even have it be real Marvel, because it's Sony Marvel, so it's off-brand Marvel.
That's right, Sony Marvel.
And it's still got to $39
million.
$40
million. Well, I mean, look, you could...
That's astonishing.
There are two ways to look at this, though, right? What did Venom do in its opening weekend? In its opening weekend, Venom did $80 million.
But it had a movie star in it, and it's a popular character.
Jared Leto is a movie star. I'm sorry. I know people don't like... Yes, he is. He absolutely 100% is.
Oscar-winning,
fan base, big star. People love Jared Leto.
Big grossing movies has he starred in?
Dallas Buyers
Suicide Squad.
Okay.
Suicide Squad grossed $300 some million, $330 million.
And he does appear in Suicide Squad.
He was in all the ads. Everyone wanted to see the Joker.
That's about it, though, right? I mean, this is I'm sorry. He is Tom Hardy is a movie star, and he is not the lead in, but has been. He's basically the lead in Fury Road. He's basically the lead in Dark Knight Rises.
Is that the lead in Dark Knight Rises?
Christian Bale is the lead in Dark Knight Rises.
Anne Hathaway is the second lead in Dark Knight Rises. He's like the fifth lead in Dark Knight Rises. You don't even see his face.
He's the best part of Dunkirk. Like, it's just... And Venom is
basically
a Spider-Man character and is a character with an enormous cult following.
And also, the movie's okay.
Venom the movie is okay. No, it's not terrible. It's not good.
Terrible.
But his performance is so good. Look, watching Tom Hardy on screen in the first Venom is totally enjoyable.
That movie's not good.
He's the best part of the movie. Him getting into a lobster tank, he's funny.
Him doing his split personality thing, where he gets to do different voices and is like arguing with himself. It's weirdly like the apotheosis of Tom Hardy. Like that role is like the most Tom Hardy role you could have, which is why I still think he would be great in a remake of The Dark Half. Stephen King book or Richard Bachman book, I can't remember which. But where an author is like turned into a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde sort of thing. Anyway, neither here nor there. JVL, I wrote about this in my review, and I want to run it by you because what Morbius reminds me of is the comic book glut of the 1990s. So, like, if you remember the 1990s, in the world of comic books,
Not comic book movies, but actual comic books.
You had four Spider-Man titles, and they were all enormous hits.
Web of Amazing.
Web of
Peter
Spectacular.
Parker Spectacular.
Amazing.
I collected like the first five issues of Web
and
of.
Amazing, right? Yeah. That
was, yep. So that's yeah. you had four Spider-Man comic books. You had a bunch of like Spider-Man miniseries. You had all the maxi series. And then you would put Spider-Man in, like, Ghost Rider, and Ghost Rider sales would go up. You'd put Spider-Man in, you know, Captain America. Captain America sales would go up, right? And then they started making, like, Spider-Man side character series. There was Venom miniseries. There was, you know, and there was a Morbius series. There was a Morbius series from 92 to 95. And that's when you knew that the comic book bubble was real. That's like when you knew that things were totally out of control.
Yes.
Was when Morbius the Living Vampire gets a 3-year run on the spinner rack. Because he's a shit character. He's totally boring. The I'm sure the art was atrocious. I mean, maybe it was fine. I don't know. I never read it because it was just one of the billions of titles that was out. And that is what this movie reminds me of. This movie reminds me of that moment in like 1993 when you realized things were totally out of control and there was going to be a massive correction. And like there were things that would survive. Spider-Man they'll keep making Spider-Man movies. Venom, I guess, continues to do very well. You know, both Venom and its sequel have done fine at the box office. But there is like we are at peak comic book movie, and I really do think that this is emblematic of that. And I bet it collapses this weekend. I bet it drops 70%.
Yeah, totally.
And like I think it won't get to 100 million domestic. I think we are finally hitting peak comic book. No. So even the Marvel, so like MCU, like Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is going to make $1 billion.
That's
everyone's
coming
up. Everyone's going to want to go see that. But then I don't know. I don't think any of these other Spider-Verse movies are going to be any good. They're not going to have a Sinister Six movie. They're going to have a Black Cat movie. Come on.
Here's the difference, Sonny. One of the things that happened during the comic book bubble was that they started producing so many that the quality control got really, really bad. And in fact, got so bad that none of it was good. So it isn't just that like the core titles were still really solid, but then all of this other stuff was bad. It was all bad.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to interrupt you. Is this Maximum Clonage slander? Are you saying that Maximum Clonage wasn't one of the great landmark works of art of the 20th century?
Excalibur, not good. Of the 17 Wolverine titles, you think there were a lot of Spider-Man titles? The number of Wolverine and X-Men titles?
The number of X-Men titles, yeah. X-Force, Excalibur.
But the difference
X-Factor.
Between that X-Factor. And this is that there are still very good... The quality control is slipping because they're putting out too many movies for the quality to remain high.
Yeah.
Although Disney Marvel does a better job of keeping the, you know, keeping
proper
it to like
MCU.
A B minus, right? Yeah. But on the other hand, like Spider-Man Far From, or Spider-Man No Way Home is very good. It's a very good movie.
Yeah.
The Snyder cut of Justice League turns out to be quite good. There's something else we saw recently that was pretty good.
Eternals.
No, that
well, that was
probably
bad.
Wasn't it. So you get bad, like you get
Shang-Chi.
Wonder Woman. You get Wonder Woman 84, right? You get bad stuff. You get Morbius. You get the Black Widow movie. You get dogs now, but you also get stuff that's really good.
Are we missing the
first Doctor Strange movie? It's quite good. The Infinity War movies are quite good.
I thought about it while watching Morbius.
I agree. If you go back, again, like 2, 3, 4 years, things, my argument is that we are now starting to reach a character saturation that we like kind of jokingly thought we were at when it was like Thor and Captain America. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, who are these B-team guys? You know, Iron Man, oh, B-team guys.
Yeah, we thought they were B-team.
How could Marvel make movies out of this? Now it's like Morbius.
Yeah, that's where we're
going to have. They're going to have like a movie with like the three Captain Marvels. you know, I like.
Well,
are there Shang-Chi?
Any? Are we missing? Are they missing more obvious popular superheroes that haven't had a bigger movie than that? That because we're all the way down at Morbius level. Like, isn't there other more famous superheroes that we're just?
Not that Sony owns.
Ah.
We have a branch where Fox owned all of X-Men, Sony owned all of Spider-Man.
Right.
And you know, when all you own is Spider-Man in the Spider-Man universe, that he's really your only hero, right? Yeah. I mean, everything else is And you see that in the way that they've struggled to reposition both Venom and Morbius as heroes. And Morbius is not even an anti-hero. Morbius is just a straight hero. Venom is an anti-hero. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mainline Marvel doesn't have that problem as much. They still have, I think, a lot of IP that they can mine. And you know what the truth is? If you get great actors in interesting parts with good scripts, I mean, look at the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Like, that is, you know, it's a fucking talking raccoon, right? I mean, this is not the A-team. And you get a pretty good script, a great actor who's really suited to it, and a director who is willing to take some chances and have some fun, and you can
Well, a director who's willing to bend to the Marvel House style.
Right.
Totally.
Well, bend to it, but, you know, while keeping some of him in it.
Right.
I do hope that Sam Raimi has some Sam Raimi stuff in the Multiverse of Madness. We'll see how that... Sam Raimi stepped in for Scott Derrickson in the new Doctor Strange
and
movie.
And it's coming up in a couple of weeks?
A month or so? Yeah, I think it's May.
That's big news. Okay. Sonny, do you want to give a quick review of Morbius?
Morbius! Starring one of the great movie stars of our age, Jared Leto. Also, the lead singer of 30 Seconds to Mars. You'll remember him most recently as Paolo from the House of Gucci.
Amazing accents.
Jared Leto.
He's very handsome.
Jared Leto stars as Michael Morbius. Well, the teens love Jared
Back
Leto.
In the day. Still? Really?
It's like a cult.
He's like Vic's age.
There's like a whole... There's a whole 30 Second to Mars cult.
Oh.
They went out to an island. They all wore white. I'm not even joking. You can effort this while I'm doing
groupies
the review,
or actual cult. Like, groupies are fine, but
a cult
I'm staying away from.
Groupies
were they in international waters?
Oh yeah.
What's the age of consent in international waters? Sorry.
I don't know. If you could make vampires in international waters, I'm pretty sure you could do anything. Go ahead.
So anyway, Dr. Michael Morbius has to go to international waters to make himself a vampire to cure his disease. He wants to cross his DNA with that of a vampire bat. And to do so, you got to go out into international waters. He's funded by his friend, who's played by Michael Morbius has renamed Milo for some reason. He's, you know, all the new Milos. Morbius is funded by Matt Smith. Is that the character's
Matt
name?
Matt Smith, the actor.
Or the actor's
name
is
Matt Smith.
Yes.
The Duke of Edinburgh.
The Duke of Edinburgh. So he can cure the disease that both Morbius and Milo have. He does it. He succeeds in curing the disease, but he turns himself into a vampire, though not really a vampire because he's not allergic to sunlight, not allergic to garlic.
Yeah, there's no religious element to it either.
There's no holy water. No. There's, you know, none of that. It's just like he sucks blood, wants to suck blood. And he's fast, I guess. He can see himself in the mirror. That's another.
It's a big plus. It's hard when you're a vampire. You have no idea what you look like.
Turns out that
He has Daredevil hearing too.
Well, he's got echolocation.
Echolocation,
which is
a bad skill.
We could talk about the terrible effects in this movie, though I don't really think they're that much worse than kind of standard MCU visuals.
Bad.
But like whatever, the echolocation, it just sounds like he can actually. It's really more like Superman hearing. Like he
it's
can
both.
Hear what he
yes.
like. He like focus in on whatever he wants. Yes.
It's both.
Then,
he can do that, and he can do.
Right. Yes. Find. Yeah. It's like that device in a Dark Knight, you know, where you can surveil.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, he's got to fight the Duke of Edinburgh, who is the whole.
Who is an endearing child, but somehow turns into a monster.
Maybe we can talk about some of the erotic subtext of this movie.
Well, any vampire movie will have an erotic subtext. Interview with.
Okay.
Between Milo and Morbius?
Or was it brotherly? You're saying it was...
I didn't pick up on any of that.
All right, so there's the moment early in the film where Morbius writes the note to Milo, and Milo gets beat up by the kids who steal his note. He's like, give me my note back. Give me my note from my friend back. I need my note. And then they go on the walk in the park together, and they're laying about in the grass. Just
Central Park,
and then,
just like a
and
couple
Milo,
of Oxbridge guys.
Nothing ever goes on with those guys, by the way.
Milo sees Morbius with his lady friend is staring jealously at them from across the way.
You mean he wasn't he wasn't envious of him dating her? You say
these
he
two
was
guys
at her.
With this, these two guys with this terrible blood disease in Manhattan. You know, just kind of going out to nightclubs and stuff and dancing around. The subtext is barely subtext in this.
I gotta say,
that's deep,
I don't
sonny.
Buy
it's
this
really
at all.
That's deeper than I thought. I'm only thinking about it now, but I thought about it a little
maybe
bit.
Maybe I'm wrong.
A little bit.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Are you
wrong.
Looking through your notes there?
Hold on. Maybe the line here where Milo says, Michael does not accept what he is. I'm going to make him accept it. Oh, no, that's no subtext there. No subtext there about in this movie. Come on. There's no shame in what we are. That's another line that Milo says. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know.
Wait, he's the villain?
I would have liked this much more if this had really been there. One of the things I have in my notes is that for a vampire movie, there's basically no sexual tension in it and no sexual subsex in it.
Oh, well, it's because you were looking the wrong way.
I guess I'd have enjoyed
this more if I thought that this
Milo
was going
on. Milo doing his little dance while he's putting on his little suit.
What was that all about? What was
just
that all about?
He see himself in the mirror. He's like, I'm a living vampire.
I thought it was...
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, that was unnecessary. Like, he's dancing. Why am I watching him dance? Maybe because he's never danced before, because he was unable to.
Well, he's because his legs are healed
now.
So he's
got the moves.
He's filled with rhythm.
He's got the moves.
Anyway, hips don't lie. Matt Smith's hips don't lie. I just throwing that out there. I just wanted to throw that. Maybe I'm reading into it. I don't know.
Looks like Gordon Ramsay with the meat sucked out of him, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got the weird.
He does it a little bit.
I can't see us here, but doing the thing with the cheekbones, and he just goes. They transform to yes. Thank you, Sonny. That's the face. If only you can see this.
Boy, we had the Facebook Live version of this right now.
Yeah, I know that was a good face. The weird thing is, of course, back in the day, meaning not too long ago, you know, you would have to, you know, I'm thinking about how long Gary Oldman must have sat in his chair to get all that makeup done when he did Dracula. And now they just CGI it on you.
They were doing the makeup like 15 times a scene because
there's no
you go in
no,
and out of there, it.
That's, nothing approaching a practical special effect has got anywhere near this movie.
No,
this was all no, everything about this movie was weightless CGI. So here's my big complaint about this movie. Set aside the fact that it's just kind of paint by numbers origin movie. Set aside the fact that visually speaking, it's very bland and boring. And it's like kind of standard standard MCU CGI stuff. The only reason this movie exists is to set up things in the broader Spider-Man Sony Spider-Verse universe, right? And they do it. They do
the
it two mid credits.
The Venomverse.
They do it.
Not even.
Well,
Spider-Man.
But this is so.
Oh,
no, no, no.
There was post credits.
I'll get to,
right,
I'll get
ahead,
to this.
Sonny,
so there are two. There are two mid credit scenes.
Oh, because I was out there.
I only got through
the
first one, and it made no sense to me.
In the first, Adrian Toomes, played by Michael Keaton, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes, loved him then.
Shows up. There's the rip in the sky from No Way Home, and then he shows up in a jail cell, and on the news they're like, Adrian Toomes has appeared. And he's like, well, I guess you gotta let me go. And they're like, you're right, we do have to let you go. I don't know why.
Because
he
didn't commit crimes in that universe.
None of this makes any sense. So then there's a second mid-credits scene where Morbius is driving out into the middle of the desert, and he stops his car. And he gets out of his car. It's the middle of the night. And then the vulture comes zooming up. The vulture. Michael Keaton is in full vulture garb. Because in this universe, apparently, he still has the vulture shit. Even though he's not, you know,
right.
he's not
he didn't
from
commit
here.
Any crimes in this universe.
And says to Morbius, hey, I like your style. We should team up and do some good. And Morbius is like, I also like your style, Vulture Man. And... And then the vulture's like, there's one thing I do know, though, and it's that Spider-Man is at the middle of this. Now, if you remember correctly, as JVL says, they are in the Venomverse. They are not in the Spider. There's no Spider-Man mentioned anywhere in any of this stuff. And all of a sudden, it's like, Spider-Man. Yeah, we're talking about Spider-Man. There's no Spider-Man. No Spider-Man has ever been mentioned.
In fact, the FBI agent says, early in the film, This is the weirdest thing since I've seen since that thing in San Francisco.
Oh,
right.
So more
and evidence calls himself Adam.
More evidence for your case, Sonny. San Francisco.
Yes. Well, that's now you're just being homophobic. So the incident was
a bathhouse. I thought you were referring to a bathhouse.
None of this makes any sense at all as like universe building. It just doesn't work on any level at all. And I don't understand. Just from a pure quality control sense, I don't understand how you could make this movie with those end credits and shit it out into the world.
I feel like...
Because it's a disaster. What
is there one at the very... Did you stay to the very, very, very end?
I stayed all the way to the end, and there was nothing at the end.
Oh. JV.
Anyway.
You texted us, and you had me there for a second.
The show time was posted as 5:20 that I went to.
At Alamo?
I was at Alamo. I was late. I got there at 5:30. And I snuck in under the wire as the if you talk or text, we're going to throw your ass out and nobody else is allowed in the theater now. Mm-hmm. That's when I got.
Wow.
So 10 minutes of trailers plus the Alamo shut your mouth stuff. That's all they do at Alamo now.
That's amazing. Lucky.
So credits are So opening credits are rolling at 5:30. And I am in my car before 7 p.m.
You mean you left early, is what you're saying?
No, I left the minute the first credits rolled at the end.
Yes.
So this is like a 87-minute runtime if you don't stick around for the credits. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, that performs very well on one of the quadrants.
It does A+ for me.
Plus.
It did not feel that way, I'm telling you. I wanted to get
Thought it felt incredibly brief. I couldn't believe it was over.
I felt it was like one long night.
Now, Victorino, I have to say,
place in the dark.
That's probably the only quadrant it did well in.
Yeah. Yeah,
correct?
I wanted to give it an NA for a plot because I didn't think it had a plot. And then I was so angry, I actually wrote plot F for fucking stupid. I actually wrote that.
Ooh.
But I mean, technically, I mean, it's an A anymore and can understand it because it's like, oh, he needs a cure of disease and he turns into a vampire and his buddy...
needs cure and then he cures it.
His buddy likes it and then he kills people and then he has to kill his friend. That's about it. Yeah. So
what more could you want from a movie?
Yeah, duration I said was a B+ because it felt longer for me. Action and violence, I gave it a C, culminating in what I called, and I wrote it here, the battle of who gives a shit. Which is the two of them fighting each other. And at one point, I'm pretty sure it was just comic book, like, it looked like pure animation.
What was happening?
Matt Smith is going after Mid. They're falling down together. And you can see me again. Nobody else could see this. And all those streaks, lots of streaking. And I don't mean running in naked. I mean, like, you know, the lines, everything. Explain the streaking.
But also the camera zooms, like, right up so that it's... I mean, the camera doesn't zoom. All of this is animated. But within the animation, the camera zooms like right up so it's like 4 inches away from the characters.
Yeah.
And so you can't, like, you not only can you not tell what's going on because none of the physical spaces have been defined.
Yes.
But in fact, they're being obscured by the... I just thought it was, as a directing choice, incomprehensible.
Yeah, yeah.
I sat there thinking to myself... How did somebody storyboard this and say, yes, we'll do it this way?
I have to say, and then Sex Nudity is an F. I, even for PG-13, I liked her. I found her very attractive. Martine, I don't see how she suddenly, falls in love with a better looking Jared Leto than the old Jared Leto. But nevertheless, I just, you know.
She loves him for his mind. She's a great scientist.
Right. There need to be more women like this, by the way. I came in with very low expectations, and I actually thought when it started, you know what? I really didn't want to see this, but I'm going to give it a chance. That lasted.
Yeah, it sounds like you really went into it with an open mind.
As you can tell with my ratings. And about 15 or 20 minutes, I said, what is going on over here? And actually, I thought, okay, this is interesting because he starts off, he's not like Stephen Strange. You know, in the beginning of Doctor Strange, he's very arrogant, and then he gets humbled, right? He's a nice guy. He's a nice doctor, Dr. Morbius. He's helping these kids, you know, this girl and everything.
He invents the fake blood.
Yeah, invents fake blood, which saves people's lives. The blue blood, right? The blue blood, is that
blue
what
blood.
It is? So he helps him. But then after that, you know, and I can relate, obviously, because I have to get my Wolverine blood.
Yeah,
you know,
yourself.
And you should see blood. Me when I don't get it on time. I you know, he turned into a vampire. I turned into a leper. And then I just have to get the injection. But then I felt like it just went nowhere. Also, it's weird. So he seems to have no control over. Supposedly, he has no control when he turns into this violent vampire monster. And I'm talking about Morbius. Yet, amazingly, he only killed bad guys. Or I'm going to say quote unquote bad guys because he kills these mercenaries. But what did the mercenaries actually do wrong?
Mercenaries did nothing wrong.
Why were there mercenaries?
Were they hired by Milo?
Well, you gotta defend the ship from pirates.
I mean, they're 13 miles off of Long Island. They're not off the coast of Somalia.
That's true. And they're not in the Horn of Africa.
This ship, which, by the way, why do they have to be in international waters, has no crew except the mercenaries.
FDA regulations were too.
It's not like somebody, you know, said, hey, we got a crew and then we got to bring in security. There seem to be no crewmen except for the mercenaries.
Yes.
No, just the mercenaries.
There's no captain. And it was also where they're conducting this very important experiment did not look exactly like the most sterile environment.
No.
To have this done. I will say I did get that this was a reference to the Dracula novel and the movies of the Demeter, right? The Demeter, the ship that brings the schooner that brings Count Dracula to England, right? And he kills everybody on the ship, and that's basically the reference.
Well, that's
there.
Great. I'm glad that they concocted a cockamamie plot device purely in order to give a callback.
Just that, and the movement, you know, it's like this, what do you call this sort of camera thing where everything is very shaky and moves up, and then there's...
Handheld.
And it jumps right to the victim. They get killed immediately. You know what I mean? Where everything is very...
Well, this movie suffers from being a PG-13 horror film. It suffers from, like, being essentially a bloodless movie about a bloody vampire. Like,
yes, there's actually not a lot of blood. Whereas if you watch, obviously, Bram Stoker's Dracula, Francis Ford Coppola's, that was a hard R.
It was hard R.
A lot of blood. And nudity. Yeah.
That movie's bad. I know, you know what?
Tell me, do you think it's too corny, the love thing with Winona Ryder?
It's not even that. That's
sappy.
Not even the real issue. The issue is just, like, structurally, it's all over the place Francis Ford Coppola doing his, like, homages to the early Nickelodeons, like, wandering through the streets of New York City. Okay. And then, like, the stuff in the insane asylum. It is a poorly constructed...
Tom Waits, though. I like Tom Waits.
Piece of narrative filmmaking. Mm-hmm. I don't care for it on any level.
The cast by and large, Jared Leto I thought was fine. I mentioned Martine. I liked her a lot. She's an actress from I think Puerto Rico, Adria Arjona. And I like the father figure Jared Harris. I like him in anything he does. Also, he and Matt Smith, of course, were in The Crown together. Jared Harris, by the way, who plays the old doctor, right, who gets killed.
Richard Harris's little brother, right?
He is the son. He's Richard Harris's son.
Oh, son.
Yes. But here's a very interesting, funny story, because I saw an interview with him with this. His father was Richard Harris, who was a very difficult man and just not a great father. But he says... Luckily, his mother divorced him. But the bad news is she married Rex Harrison, who was an even worse stepfather. So it was just really two bad dads. Wow. Anyway, that's all I had for that.
I have questions about this.
Yes, so do I. But you first.
So do vampires have bullet time, or is it like Quicksilver, where they are so fast that they can warp space-time? By moving around.
I think
around.
They're just very fast.
They're very, yes.
But again, they are metahuman fast.
Yeah, your question is it more Matrix?
Am I wrong about this? Because again, they are moving in the way that the Flash or Superman moves, which seems...
Yeah.
The FBI decides that they're going to handle the case of people killed on a ship in international water. Is maritime law part of the FBI? Why is Tyrese playing the serious cop? and not the
I
funny
like him,
one.
By the way. He was good at that movie Annapolis.
So we spend like 4 minutes with Dr. Morbius and his Puerto Rican doctor girlfriend and this adorable girl named Anna who goes into a coma. They have to induce a coma. And then we never see her again.
Yeah. Never see her again. She
disappears. Why fine, is though. She still in the...
No, she's okay. Dead.
So when
they don't want to show the dead girl.
Morbius learns to fly. It's because he's flying in front of a subway.
Well, he's riding.
He's not drafting. I thought he was going to.
He's gliding on the air.
So yeah, so he's riding on a current of compressed air. I guess because his bones are now lighter than human bones. Maybe
did he have a cape on? Was he using a cape as like Batman would or no?
No,
he was just.
But then later. He starts flying around the city without the aid of compressed air. Is that a new power?
What we don't know, JBL.
He jumped off a high, but he was gliding.
It was also very windy that night. It was very windy that night.
Windy. So we have a scene where he goes to get a new lab so they can do experiments. And then two scenes later, he's back in the old lab working.
Yes.
Yes.
Why is that?
Well, they needed to evidence. Smash that counterfeiting ring.
So the bats obey him because he's their brother, but they don't obey the little Gordon Ramsay dude. Is that because he's gay? Are these homophobic bats?
I tried to tell you guys.
What happened to the vampire death serum?
Bats are messy. So who's cleaning up after the bats?
He builds two things of vampire death serum because he's gonna kill himself afterwards because it's too dangerous.
Yeah, it's too much.
Then he just decides not to take it. Or
yes,
why
because
did
he's
he?
Because he learns he can control it now.
But why make two then? Again, this is.
Can he control it though? Doesn't he just have to keep like killing bad people?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think
maybe,
he's Venom. This is he's literally Venom. Like he
maybe
has
he
to drink the red stuff,
back
and so
and forth.
Yeah.
Maybe he can just go to like the Red Cross and get some like bags of real blood.
This is so I you know, it's funny. I don't want to be overly kind to this thing, but my overriding sense watching this was that there was a 2-hour and 15-minute version of this movie, and the film editor went in and cut 50 minutes out of it. In the most spiteful and vindictive way possible, with the goal of making the director look like a total incompetent. Like the two of them fought during production, and then the editor just decided, you know what? I have final cut of this for some weird contractual reason, and I'm going to make you look like an asshole.
Must be a reason why this is so bad, and it can't be just
some of it was just incomprehensible. Like how could this? There are script problems, like the idea of having Morbius not fighting himself, but fighting just another version of Morbius. Like that's it almost literally is Venom, right? Isn't this the plot of the first Venom?
That's also basically what happens at the end of and then really Venom Let There Be Carnage as well.
The same thing, right. The spawn of why not just like have him fight Shocker or something? Mm-hmm. But even if you just take the writing weaknesses of it, what is on the screen, I just can't understand how it got out in this form.
Yeah. This final battle scene, they collapse. It's like an underground where I guess there used to be an old subway. But it's New York, and that's where it takes place, and the bats all fly out. I mean, it's just...
because that's where the bats live.
That's where the
bats
live.
Also, did the score there not sound like a lot like Hans Zimmer?
Oh, no. I actually have that in my notes.
Yeah,
I
had that in my notes. Like, I just thought to myself, they're ripping off Dark Knight. What are they doing here? You can't do this every time the... And it's only when there are bats.
Yeah. No.
Or is that homage to...
Zimmer's Batman Begins theme, ... Ooh. Is in my it sounds exactly like the everything from the Dark Knight.
Okay,
and there's actually there's another moment that calls to mind the Man of Steel Zimmer score. Like I think a friend suggested that they like used a bunch of Zimmer tracks in the temp and just forgot to take them out.
Yeah. Or thought like, wait, you know, that sounds really good. What if we just change enough so that we don't have to pay royalties?
No, it's not the same. It's like da 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 da.
Okay, I have a couple questions too. One, when Milo goes to the nightclub, is he really wanting to score with a woman, or did he just want to pick a fight so that he could wait outside and then sink his teeth into those men?
Couldn't he just wait outside and kill the men anyway? Like, why does he need to go inside?
He has to make it seem like I'm going to bait somebody into picking up, and then I'll have a reason to go in.
Honestly, if this is all about Milo being a scorned gay lover, I like it more. I don't like it, but that's at least an idea.
That's an idea, right? It's an idea. Where here, there's no idea.
And so I just think that should have been pushed harder if that's real.
You wanted it gayer.
Yes, I would have wanted
but
it gayer.
But in the end, when Milo dies, spoiler alert, then he suddenly turns into like the little boy again. He says, you know, and he's like to Morbius, like, why this whole thing, right? It is like, oh, now he's nice again. I found that to be very weird. Question. What, if the problem is that he actually has, that Morbius has a need for red blood, why could he not just go to a break into a blood bank? He doesn't have to get it from live victims, right? He just go to a blood bank.
Why
he
indeed?
Purchase. He could. What, JVL?
Why indeed?
Yeah, why?
He's a doctor. He could pay a
nurse or whoever works there and say, hey, I'll give you money. Just give me a couple vials. Okay, so that's what. Also, at the very.
Or he could go to Skid Row. And just like throw $20 at some hobos, be like, hey, let me suck
your blood.
There's no difference between them donating to the Red Cross.
That's bad
and,
blood.
You know.
Okay. Does she turn into a vampire at the end? Is that what I'm supposed to believe at the very end? Martine?
I think that's also.
But she's because the only one who turns into a vampire.
Because she got bitten
but she comes to life. No, he gives her a drop of his blood, I think.
Oh, like a traditional vampire story.
Like a more traditional, I think. It felt very tacked on.
It sure did, because it was like, oh, I'm so sad she's died. Oh, no, she's alive as a vampirus.
Now she's a vampire.
Okay.
Vampire lady.
Great. Do you have any other thoughts?
Yeah.
Bad movie.
That was a bad movie. Okay. That was a lengthy episode. Spirit of the week. Corrections? Shout-outs? Anything? Corrections? No, we're good? No.
NyQuil.
Yes, and Sonny, I see you're drinking a Coors.
No, I'm drinking Dr.
Oh, I looked like a can of Coors for a second. Let me see that.
I mean, it does. Oh,
it was really quick. It was quick. It was quick. Okay, all right. Also, that was a classic Texas soda. Okay, and NyQuil.
This is my spirit of the week.
Well, that'll knock you out, JVL. That's all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, compliments, tweet us at Sunday Bunch at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Just go to subbeacon.com. We're there. Tell your friends. Until next time. All right, come on. What do you got?
You got nothing? I got nothing.
Our friends at Commentary, they're doing their podcast. They're doing a live podcast from, I think, Palm Beach, Florida.
Ooh.
That's nice. I don't know if we could do something like that.
From Palm Beach?
Do we have a lot of listeners in Palm Beach? Because I guess they have a lot of listeners in Florida. Is that why they pick it? There must be reasons for these things, but, you know.
Well, they sold out when they did the comedy club.
In New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, they sold a ton of tickets for that.
I'll say that.
I bet they could sell out down in Palm Beach. You guys should have done a live show when you were in Vegas.
I wonder, we would maybe get four or five listeners out there. We could have done one at a live podcast from Sapphire. That would have been good.
I'm sure it's fine.